Welcome to The Crossing, the sermon podcast from Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us, and we hope this week's episode gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our other Crossing podcast, Tower Talks, where you can find untold stories from cathedral docents, volunteers, staff, and artists who have each helped make the cathedral into the national treasure we all love. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. When I was 10 years old, I knew something deep within my soul. You know how that is, right? This deep knowing that comes from an outside source. I knew that I needed to go fishing. I'm not sure where this deep knowledge came from. I only knew its resounding truth. I needed to sit by the side of a body of water, fishing rod in hand, and wait patiently for the fish to bite. My mother, in her infinite wisdom, had me work to earn that fishing rod. That meant I spent a summer swimming laps, which I hated, to earn my way to the coveted Fisher Price fishing rod. Once I swam the laps and had my gear, I was ready to embark upon my dreams of fishing. The perfect opportunity came on a crisp, cool morning on a father-daughter weekend that fall, and my knowing became reality. I marched right to the end of that pier, baited my hook, and plunked it in the water. I was prepared to wait, to test my patience, because as we all know, I was called to fish. But no such feats of endurance were needed that morning, because within minutes I felt the telltale tug. With ever-growing excitement, I reeled in my line and pulled up my very first fish. Unfortunately, my 10-year-old brain had not prepared me for the reality of an actual fish. Did you know that fish are alive when you pull them out of the water? And they flop? And I was supposed to touch it? Thankfully, at that point, my dad stepped in to rescue me, removing the fish from the hook and casting it back in the water to swim another day. I recognize that my experience with fishing looks nothing like what Jesus' first disciples did day in and day out before he called them to fish for people. But I wonder, perhaps there is a resemblance to how some churches approach evangelism. Oh, evangelism, the longest four-letter word in the church lexicon. It is the topic most mainline churches tiptoe around because it's easy to get wrong and feels hard to do right. I would wager many of us in this room or you online have had at one point or another been bombarded with a message like, follow Jesus or else. You might see the words turn or burn on a billboard or have folks come to your door telling you the only way to follow Jesus is their way. And if you don't, you're in for a world of hurt. I have spent most of my life living in the Bible Belt, either in North Carolina or Georgia. And let me tell you, these evangelism tactics and more are real. It's really no wonder that evangelism has turned into a word that shall not be spoken by those of us with a kinder message than what's typically presented. Ironically, turn or burn is the exact opposite of what evangelism means. At the opening of our passage, we hear John the Baptist's message saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Did you hear that last part? Believe in the good news. In Greek, the word for good news is euangelion, sometimes transliterated as evangelion, which is where we get the word for evangelism. Evangelism comes directly from good news. So if evangelism is all about sharing good news, then why are we so afraid of it? Why do we think we'll pull a writhing, floppy, smelly fish from the water and not know what to do with it? I'd wager it's because we are thinking about fishing a little too literally. We're thinking that just like I did many decades ago, we have to have a hook or a lure and some bait to draw people in. Perhaps the process will sting a bit, but it's all worth it in the end, right? As you might imagine, Jesus offers us a different way. His offer to the brothers Simon and Andrew is simple. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. As one commentary noted, it's worth thinking about that Jesus doesn't say to the first disciples, "Believe this way of thinking and follow me," or "Sign on to this cause and follow me." He simply says, "Follow me." The sheer minimalism of the call is striking. It may signal that while beliefs and behaviors do play a role in discipleship, they're not really the heart of the matter. Rather, walking alongside Jesus is the heart of the matter. Listening, reflecting, learning, and listening again. So what if we shifted our thinking about evangelism from asking others to follow a set of right beliefs to inviting them to dwell in Jesus' presence? Author Brian McLaren says, "I noticed that people who spent a lot of time in church often seem to be some of the meanest, more arrogant, and most judgmental people that I met. I noticed the same being true of myself as well. It seemed that Christianity had become, for many people, an evacuation plan. How to get your soul out of earth into heaven. Rather than a transformation plan. How to help God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus' ministry focused on transformation. He transformed the idea of Messiah from one who is king to one who serves others. He transformed the standard of who he should associate with from those who hold power to those who have none. He transformed the notion of who to call disciple from a group of religious folks to a group of ragtag, uneducated fishermen, a tax collector, and even the one who was to betray him. Jesus is all about transformation. Maybe that's what the earliest disciples sensed in him when Jesus said, "Follow me." Making a living as a fisherman would never earn the two sets of brothers wealth and prestige. It is doubtful that they would change the world or even have their own worlds changed by continuing that work. Jesus offers them something more, a chance to be transformed and to be part of the transformation of the world. And isn't that what we're seeking? A chance to be transformed and to be part of the transformation of the world. Jesus invited those first disciples to fish for people, and as professional fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John did not use my method of casting a single line with baited hook into the water. No, they used their strength and skill to cast a net out into the water and then draw many fish in. Jesus invited them to use their context and skills of casting as a metaphor for sharing the good news. By casting their net wide, among the people, Jesus and the disciples did not discriminate among who was pulled in. If you were a fisherman, you were welcomed in. If you were a woman, you were welcomed in. If you were a tax collector, you were welcomed in. If you were sick and disabled, you were welcomed in. If you were a Roman soldier, you were welcomed in. If you were hungry or thirsty or lost or alone, you were welcomed in. Or, as our presiding bishop Michael Curry says, the gospel way of welcome is Jesus' way to bring together all of our incredible diversity and differences into one people, one faith, one church. And the gospel way of welcome was Jesus' way. Then, as followers of Jesus, this way of welcome is our way, our call, our mission. It is easy to find messages of division. Simply tune in to any news source or media, and discord and division will show right up. But we, who are hearers and bearers of the good news, we can choose and practice a different way, the gospel way of welcome. Jesus knew the people around him needed to hear a different message. They needed to hear that their lives could be more than the drudgery of daily life, living within the bounds of both temple law and Roman law. I don't know about you, but I often need to be reminded of this myself. We live within the bounds of a 24/7 news cycle that only highlights divisions and discord. We live within the bounds of watching innocent people die for no other reason than where they live or the color of their skin. We live within the bounds of any system of injustice that keeps our siblings from experiencing the fullness of life. But, as Bishop Curry reminds us, we can transcend these bounds. He says, if we live only in the context of the way things are, we are condemned to live according to the vagaries of the present time and the dictates of the status quo. But if we live in the context of that which is greater than ourselves, we become open to the possibility of action and transformation. We are hungry for this transformation. Our world is desperate for this transformation. Perhaps my 10-year-old self was more right than I gave myself credit for, because I still have that deep knowing that I am called to fish. You won't find me standing next to a body of water and casting a line and waiting for a bite. No, I'd rather buy my fish at the grocery store. But you will find me casting out nets of hope, nets of peace, nets of love, nets of justice, nets of transformation. I'm not looking to trap or trick anyone in these nets, but I do hope and pray that the messages I cast out into the world will draw people to the source of all life, to the only one who can truly change the world by transforming each and every one of us with a message of love, peace, welcome, and justice for the world. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." I hope you find yourself, too, called to fish. Amen.